We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Catherine Whitehorn in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, we welcome back the same four keen competitors of Just a Minute, who I'm going to ask to speak, if they can, for just a minute, on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will gain points. And let us begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject for you, essentials. Can you talk on that for just 1 minute, starting now?
Colloquially, if you're caught without your essentials, it might well mean, if you're a man, that you have forgotten...
Kenneth Williams.
Two ifs.
Right at the beginning of a new game that's as sharp as anything. Well, we don't usually allow such little challenges as that.
I see, fair enough. Well, I'll waive it. Fair enough.
You're a very good chairman. We'll give you a point for a correct challenge, because it was a correct one.
I wouldn't accept charity if I were you.
You're too good.
He's not charity, he's got a challenge, which is correct, so well, I must, within the rules of the game,
anyway,
give him a point.
With
50 seconds for you on essentials, Kenneth, starting now.
Well, of course, systole and diastole would be described as absolutely central to the human body, and in case any of you are ignorant about these words, I will explain their mean, the contraction and the outward action of the pumping of the human heart. It has been associated so often with romantic ideas in poetry and in medicine with the essential business.
Catherine Whitehorn has challenged you. Why?
Well, as a matter of fact, it's a mistake, but still, I'll try and back that up by suggesting that to go off into the romantic...
I said the romantic, and then I said any medicine with the reservoirs of the blood.
I think he established, even though we thought it was Ralph Richardson talking, that that he did establish that it was essential to the working of the human body. And so I think we must give him another point, Catherine, and say he has 17 seconds on essentials, Kenneth, starting now.
The others, of course, are the seven secretive glands.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of course.
Yes, so you had if, so I'm going to give Clement of course. And he has a point for a correct challenge. Clement, 15 seconds on essentials, starting now.
A flautist without a flute, a pianist.
Peter Jones, a challenge. Why?
No hesitation.
I think so, yes. Only just, but benefit of the doubt to you, Peter. 11 seconds essential starting now.
I suppose Roy Plumley would consider that a gramophone and a number of records would be essential to him if he were taking a cruise.
The whistle, which is so elegantly blown for us by Ian Messiter, who thought of the game, tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that particular moment gains the extra point. On this occasion, it was Peter Jones, who is equal in the lead with 2 points alongside Kenneth Williams at the end of the first round. And, Catherine Whitehorn, it is your turn to begin. The subject, oysters. Can you talk to us about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
What noise annoys an oyster most is presumably the sound of a squeezed lemon falling upon its prostrate form as the shell lies open in front of the diner. There are other heights of decimal frenzy which might also disturb this interesting mollusk, such as the sound of a keel scraping along the top of its bed, which might perhaps be enough to upset any of us. And in the case of...
Peter Jones' challenge, why?
Hesitation, I thought.
Oh, why do you mean you thought?
Hesitation. She was slow, but there was no hesitation.
She was very slow. I think she had reached the point of slowness when I think you could interpret it as hesitation.
No, I thought it was quite
It was
hypnotic.
Very clever, actually, because she got slower and slower and slower. You didn't really know whether she was hesitating
well,
or not.
Well, it was always thinking about oysters. They're not exactly a race.
Oh, I was quite mesmerised myself. I was really feeling for those little mollusks. No, I think I must allow Peter Jones his hesitation and say you have a point, Peter. And 25 seconds for oysters starting now.
I think one of the nicest foods is the oyster, and if you are going on a picnic, I advise you to go to New South Wales and get a boat and go up the river from Sydney, where...
Kenneth Williams has challenged
one. This is a travel itinerary and has very little to do with oysters.
But in my mind, he was going to make it quite clear that in this little boat he was going up the river and...
How do you know? You're not in his mind. You don't know where he was going to go. Do you think you've got a crystal ball up there in which you can tell what everyone's doing next?
Well, in that case, Kenneth, you could challenge after every two words and say deviation, because he hasn't
read
the subject.
Yes. Oh, I stand corrected. Oh, that's true.
Thank goodness you back down very gracefully and rapidly on occasions, Kenneth. Peter Jones has another point, and there are 13 seconds for oysters starting now.
And there, as you sail up the Hawkesbury, you will find lots of little coves where, attached to the rocks, are the most delicious oysters you've ever imagined. You can make a campfire.
That very loud whistle which was blown was still blown by Ian Messenger.
All a load of lies. They're not attached to rocks at all. They're in beds.
Why don't you challenge him?
A pack of lies.
Why don't you challenge him then?
Well, because you said all right. It all comes to an end. The whistle's blown. It's all lovely. You were going.
Well, the whistle has blown. You didn't challenge him before the whistle.
Look at him. He's got oysters. They're rock oysters. They are attached.
Anyway, Peter Jones was speaking when the whistle went without a challenge beforehand, so he gained that extra point. He now has a very definite lead. He has 5 points, in fact, and Kenneth is in second place with 2. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject, pears. Remember, it's the word on the card, not the spelling. And you have 60 seconds starting now.
Still on the subject of food, well, that's one of my favorite desserts. Delicious, ripe, firm pears, perhaps served in a basket.
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
Well, if they're ripe, they're not firm.
I think it's a very good challenge. It's very debatable because often people say that...
No, believe me, there is about 20 minutes in the life of a pear when it is both ripe and firm.
You took the very words out of my mouth, Peter. I think that's a very apt description of the situation, so I award you the point for... And 50 seconds for pears starting now.
In a basket with a napkin, and if they are overripe or if they are not even...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of ripe.
Yes, you had ripe before. Very definitely, we've had a discussion. So, Clement, I agree with your challenge. You have a point, and 44 seconds for pears starting now.
If you were to take some pears and whittle away at them with a knife, then it could rightly be said that here is a man who pears pears. And if you had 2 of these fruit, then one might recall that there...
Peter Jones has challenged. Why?
Repetition. He said 2 fruit.
What did you mean, 2 fruit?
He said if you had 2.
Oh, I see, a repetition in that sense. Yes, there were 2, so it's repetitious. But you see, a pear is 2, and so as it's on the card, you
but
could not have it on that.
But he didn't actually say a pair of pears. He said 2 pears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But he has not deviated from the subject on the card, which is pears, and 2 is a pear. So on every reason...
Yes, I see.
So,
you mean he won on a technicality?
Oh, it's a very difficult job being chairman, I can assure you, especially when everybody wants to press upon the chairman that their point of view is the right one. And there are 26 seconds for Clement Freud to continue with pears starting now.
To put it another way, he who purchases a brace of these things would be said
Kenneth
to pair...
Williams, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, yes. He'd managed to find another word and he was so delighted with it and we were so impressed that then Kenneth came in with a challenge. 19 seconds now, Kenneth, on pear, starting now.
Well, of course, the most famous is Pear Elaine. And indeed, when she thought...
Catherine Whitehorn, why have you challenged?
Because there's no such dish as Pear Elaine. It is Poir Elaine or Pear Helen.
Yes, on the contrary, you should read Fowler's Modern English Usage, dear, in which he says to actually pronounce the foreign word in its own sounding, you make your interlocutor even more embarrassed than the acrobatic feat you're committing with your own mouth. And if it's good enough for Fowler, it's good enough for me. I know.
Well, saying all that at once, what about this?
Well,
I'm
go
sure
around,
two sentences back.
You go around saying cul-de-sac. No, you say cul-de-sac like everybody else. We don't say Paris. We say we're going to Paris. And don't come and come the acid with all this French rubbish.
Very nice. Kenneth, that was very, very well expressed, but I do think here you either say Poire Helene or
I say Pear
Helene.
Helene and the waiter gets it for me. What are you talking about? You're trying to paint me as an ignorant slob.
No! You've just proved that you're not. It was a most interesting dissertation. I'm sorry it wasn't in the game, actually. But I think Catherine had a very good challenge, because, after all, we have to be very keen. We're all pretty sharp. And so I'm going to award a point to her, and she takes over the subject of pears, and there are 14 seconds left, starting now.
Pairing?
Peter Jones has challenged you.
Hesitation.
Peter, you have a point, and there are 12 seconds for pear starting now.
There are certain seasons in the year when friends give one great piles of hard, unripe pears, and the thing...
Clement Ford is challenged.
Repetition of ripe.
This is unripe, I said.
Unripe is one word and ripe's another.
Well, that's what I say.
That's right. Well, Peter, you have another point and there are 4 seconds.
How many seconds?
4, starting now.
And you stew them in red wine and serve them, if you like, with a mild cream cheese.
Well, at the end of that round, Peter Jones was again speaking when the whistle went, and he really is forging ahead and showing he now knows the game. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin.
Oh, thank goodness.
We heard quite a lot from you in the last round. It wasn't in the
Only
game.
Only in protest.
It was beautifully
Against
protested.
Against injustice and wickedness.
Well, here's a good subject for you then. Fright.
Oh.
Can you talk to us about fright for 60 seconds, Kenneth, starting now?
I was once sitting in a bashar, which is the name for a conventional type bungalow in Ceylon, typing a rather interesting letter, and I heard a sort of swishing noise. I imagined it to be paper blowing along the floor. Looking, though, I saw a snake. I didn't realize that it was dangerous and called out, "Help, help."
Pity you repeated your call. Clement Freud challenged you first.
Anyway, my commanding officer came in with a revolver and shot it.
It's a pity he didn't come after the first help or you'd still be in the game. Clement, do you have a point for a correct challenge? 30 seconds for fright, starting now.
One of the easiest ways to be frightened is to go to Ceylon and sit in a small bungalow waiting...
Kenneth,
this is disgraceful and you know it. It's just a pity. I might be abused in this fashion, first by that lady with my pronunciation, now pinching every bit of my script, pinching it out of my mouth.
Well, the thing is, when you are stuck, when you are so clever that you can just go spontaneously like you did, you have to think of things at the spur of the moment, you often have to take over somebody else's, which Clement did. It's a great compliment to you that he couldn't be more spontaneous at that particular moment. So, as he has not used those words before, there are 20 seconds for Clement, having gained another point on fright starting now.
It was a dark and stormy night, and the waves were as big as houses on the outskirts of Madagascar's capital city. And yet I, in a small boat on the North Sea, tried desperately to overcome the water that was walling...
Catherine White on your chart.
Well, it just struck me you must have deviated a good way from Madagascar if you got to the North
Sea.
No, he was trying to describe it. He did sort of go around the houses a bit, definitely was on the sea, and so it was quite natural the water should have been up there.
Well, forgive
houses.
Me for not following you.
I know, it's very difficult.
That,
I quite agree, Catherine. I think he was saying that the waves about the high as these houses near Madagascar, which just was confusing. But he didn't deviate from fright, and there are 4 seconds left for it, Clement, starting now.
At 13,500 feet, the pilot turned to me.
Well, Clement Foy gained a number of points in that round, including taking one when the whistle went, so he's crept up on Peter Jones. And Clement Foy, it is your turn to begin. The subject is affection, a subject a great deal of which has been shown at different times in this programme, and a lack of it on occasions as well. But will you talk about it for 60 seconds, Clement, starting now?
If a man were to come up to you with jackboots and spurs and strike you about the face and body with a whip, it would be a very lukewarm reason for saying, there goes affection. One would be more correct to state, what a swine, because affection is love. Affection is when some good friend like Kenneth Williams in a white shirt, faintly tarnished with perspiration marks beneath his eyes, embraces you, even as his nose twitches to show that for him, there's no one else except his mother and various other friends whom he holds more dear. Once on a daybed in Exeter College, Oxford, a woman called Gladys bared herself and put both arms around me, saying, you are the one. Clement Freud, make me happy.
Well, I'm glad perhaps there's a good thing the whistle went, because we wouldn't go any further what happened on that daybed in, where was it?
Exeter College, Oxford.
Exeter College. You do see that Clement Freud does lead a rather bizarre life. And he gained the only points on that round, starting and finishing with the subject. And it is Catherine Whitehorn's turn to begin. Catherine, the subject is sin. Can you talk to us on sin for 60 seconds, starting now?
The seven deadly sins, as outlined in medieval mythology, comprised those things which they did not want to do and which we now do. In some cases, this can be having a girl bear herself to you on a daybed in Exeter College, Oxford. In some cases, it can be to sniff the
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree.
Well, wouldn't you hesitate in the circumstances?
I would.
Yes, she was even hesitating trying to remember what he said. Peter, I agree with the challenge, so you gain a point, and there are 37 seconds for sin. Oh, that's a nice... not much. Can you sin in 37 seconds? That's a good point. 37 seconds, Peter, starting now.
Just to give them a name, let us recall that they are pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth, hesitation, deviation, and repetition. Let us not fall into the trap.
Clement Freud has challenged why?
Repetition of letters.
Yes.
Yes, too.
Oh, let us remind ourselves and let us not. Sharp challenging, but it's neck and neck at the head of the game.
Whether it's neck and neck, it's either repetition or it's not.
It is both neck and neck and repetition, Kenneth. So don't be facetious. 20 seconds for sin, Clement, with you starting now.
In the game of ice hockey, they have a very interesting thing which is called a sin bin. In other words, when a player has committed an offence known in the trade as sin, he's...
Kenneth Williams has challenged. Why?
He's talking about ice hockey, and then he said known in the trade, and ice hockey is not a trade.
Yes, it is.
Well, it can be. It is again this colloquialism that comes in, and I say, colloquially speaking, most people might refer to it as a trade.
Some people refer to ice hockey as trade, do you?
No, I don't. But Clement Freud does. All right, if you want to debate it, I will put it to the audience. Do you think, colloquially speaking, it could be, but let you be the final judges. If you agree with Kenneth Williams' challenge, will you cheer?
Right.
And if you disagree, will you boo? And you all do it together now.
Right.
The boos have it, Kenneth, Clement Freud. Clement, you disagree
with me. I
thought
the cheers had it.
You think the cheers had it. Thank you very much. I'm glad
it.
You're sporting. So Clement will... Kenneth, the audience are on your side and you have a point because it's not a trade and there are 10 seconds for sin with you now starting. Now.
As Oscar Wilde properly remarked, the only real sin is stupidity. And every time I come upon it, I pronounce most of it.
Well, at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams was speaking when the whistle went, so he gained the extra point. But Clement
so Freud, I'm winning.
No, you're still very definitely in third place. Clement Freud and Peter Jones are still way out in the lead. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. And from sin, we go to goodness. Can you talk about goodness for 60 seconds, starting now?
This delightful quality is, I suspect, not perhaps quite as popular or as fashionable as it once was, though I believe that there's still a great deal of it about. This is...
Kenneth Williams' wife who challenged.
Well, he's talking a lot of rubbish. Goodness is a fundamental quality, therefore it can neither be fashionable nor unfashionable.
Oh, I think goodness can be fashionable and unfashionable.
Nonsense. It's a fundamental quality. Truth, goodness, and beauty are fundamentals. They're neither in fashion or out of fashion.
Oh, definitely.
A lie would be a lie in Babylon or London, you great idiot. Don't you know that? Can't talk about it being fashionable or unfashionable.
I love the way you speak to me sometimes.
Oh, I don't mean
so
it rudely,
charming.
I assure you.
And if you think of your restoration comedies, they often say such and such is very much in fashion.
You can use it
in that expression, and you can talk of it in the way that people...
What he meant was the practising of goodness was out
of
fashion.
I don't mind what
he didn't
meant.
Say that. He said goodness itself was out of fashion, which is rubbish.
Yeah, the
We've got
word.
Loads of wonderful
goodness.
People all around us. Good people, fine people. People giving themselves, laying down their lives.
And how do you know he wasn't referring to the word goodness being out of fashion? Either way, I think Peter Jones has a point, with 45 seconds left, starting now.
This is supported by the fact that advertisers use the word a great deal. It must carry a lot of emotional weight. That is why they refer to something as having locked in goodness, or goodness added, or some kind of word of that kind.
Clement Freud, why have you chatted?
Repetition of word.
Yes, you did say that goodness was a...
Yes.
That's right. So, Clement, you have another point for a correct challenge. 27 seconds on goodness, starting now.
Take an elderly woman, down at heel and poor, with her bent back. And then along comes a man, balding, of middle age, who puts his hand into his pocket, withdraws 5 crisp pound notes, and says, "Here you are. This is to purchase a cheese sandwich and wine to go with it." Now there...
My goodness, he took a long time to get to his touch of goodness, didn't he? He so painted the picture, we were all paralyzed for a minute. Clement Freud, you were speaking when the whistle went, you gained that extra point, and you've increased your lead over Peter Jones at the end of that round. Kenneth, the subject for you, which I'm sure you can talk about well about, because I hope you've had many experiences of it, embarrassments. Can you tell us about some embarrassments in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, there was an occasion in a play called Hotel Paradiso at the Winter Garden Theatre when I had to appear through these French windows, and I did do this and unknowingly had failed to fasten the fly. And the other actor stood in front of me. I thought selfishly, rudely, throughout the entire scene. When I got into the wings, I asked why he had obstructed me, and he said, "Because your flies were open." I realised then how appalling...
Peter Jones has challenged, why?
Repetition of flies.
Yes, no, I said fly first and flies the second. So anyway...
He said fly. That's right, yes.
Yeah, so... of course it's right. I know what I'm talking about. Don't worry, it was my flies were open, wasn't it?
All right, I'll give it to you in a minute. 24 seconds on flies. I'm sorry. 24 seconds on embarrassments, starting now.
And Joni Sims always says that her most embarrassing one was when the gun didn't go off and she was forced to kick him in the behind and he staggered to the floats and said the boot was poisoned because he had to die somehow, you see. You're a rotten ass, aren't you?
How it is challenged, why? Oh.
Deviation.
Yes, why?
Nothing to do with embarrassment.
Of course, it's extremely embarrassing to be kicked up the behind and have to stagger to the float and say it's poison.
And it's very embarrassing to have a rotten house when you tell a very funny story.
Precisely, so. Thank you. Oh, he's very
So sit down, Kenneth. You've got to continue in a minute. You have 8 seconds for embarrassments, Kenneth, starting now.
The other one was when they went up to the Archbishop of Canterbury and said, "Every word is a hymn to your grace," because they really meant it as a popular lyric, you see, but he took it.
Well, at the end of that round, Kenneth Williams is speaking when the whistle went, so he gained the extra point. And I'm afraid we have no more time, so I must give you now the score at the end of what was the final round. And as you probably guess, Catherine Whitehorn came in fourth place. She was a few points behind Kenneth Williams, who was quite a few points behind Peter Jones, who was just behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope that you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.